This past week, our denomination convened in Anaheim, California. How many were aware that our denomination had a denominational convention from Monday all the way to Thursday in Anaheim? And so I got the privilege to go and represent our church, which our church is about roughly about over 2,000 churches in the United States that are part of the Foursquare family. And so I got a chance to represent our church, and this was my nice badge that I got as I went that said, you know, has my name, what city I'm from. And then, of course, on the back, they don't have books anymore for the convention. So now your whole schedule is right here on the back of your card. So I got a chance on Sunday. Bishop Buckley was wondering, why are you leaving Kansas City at 5:25 in the morning, having to get up at 2:00 in the morning to be at KCI at 3:00 in the morning? And because not as times change, things change. And nothing stays the same. How many have lived enough long enough to know that nothing stays the same? Well, our airport has changed from the time that I have traveled many times out of KCI. KCI has made changes and adjustments. Mm-hmm. And so I knew I had to adjust myself in order to be able to get through KCI. And so also, as Sister Freeman alluded to me, she said, Brother Solomon, you're going to be walking a lot. You're going to be walking a lot. And boy, when I walked in the door, as they tell you, what terminal are you going to? I'm going to Southwest. Well, Southwest was right here. But there were all these kiosks, which were computers. Bishop Buckley wanted to know what a kiosk is. Kiosk is a computer where you go up and you put in a number or your birth date, your social security number, whatever, and it pulls up your ticket. Well, if you had to stand there, and I had already had my boarding passes on my phone. So all I had to do was just go and show TSA. What I'm saying to you, nothing stays the same.
Amen.
Things are always changing. And progressing. So in our lives, we need to be pliable to know that God's going to do a new thing in us, but we got to have our ears open and our mindset has to be ready to receive the new of what God has for us. So I saw that as a God journey, because God was telling me, he said, just like everything around this airport has changed and shifted, nothing is the same. Your life has to shift. You have to take a shift. As a church, we're having to take shifts now that we never thought that we would have to shift. In all the years that Rock of Salvation has been a church, we're having to reimagine what the next 20, 30 years are going to look like for our church. So one of the things God told me to do is that I want you to be ahead, be in the Lord's timing. Behold, I do a new thing, and now shall it spring forth. How is it going to spring forth? And you're not ready. And so one of the things the Lord told me, he said, I want you to get to California early. And I said, get there early? It'll be 10:00 in the morning when I get there. Well, when I got there, the hotel was bigger than what I thought it was going to be. I had to navigate my way around from the hotel. I ended up at the convention center, but the convention center doors were locked. Turned out I was in the wrong part of the convention center. I had to walk all the way to the arena part to find the people that I needed to connect with. Luckily, I'll tell you guys, being prepared is good, because I had all the phone numbers of the people that I needed to contact in order to do what I needed to do for volunteering, because I was volunteering. So the person met me outside and said, keep walking until you run into the arena. And I ran into the arena, and I was able to find the person that I needed to find. One of the things the Lord wants us to do, he wants us to be willing to take some chances, to take some chances and advance. One of the things that we're going to have to do is break from our comfort zone. How are we going to break from our comfort zone? Sometimes we're going to have to go to some places. Sometimes we're going to have to go to some places and some spaces where we're not familiar, in order for God to get the glory out of our lives. During the conference, I got a chance to meet the president of Life Pacific University at a little small gathering called the Four Square Scholars Fellowship. And she was sharing with me something that's near and dear to my heart. And I have said this for a very long time. I have had great concern with the way that the church worldwide, I'm not just talking about one church or one denomination, how we have freely given out licenses and ordination papers to people, that we have not questioned their theology. We've just handed them out. And one of the things she said at the meeting, I met her, she's president of Life Pacific University. She said, I am creating avenues so that people can get theological training without having to pay an arm and a leg through a certificate program. Even if they can't afford a degree, they can get a certificate in biblical foundations, because she said, I have a concern about the ministers that are being shot out into this particular movement. I can only speak to Four Square. And she said, but I have a great concern, because now we don't require, it used to be a time in the Four Square Church, this was way before I came along, that in order for you to carry a minister's license, you had to have Bible school education at least 1 year or 2 years. That did not make you a minister, but that also helped you to be held accountable for what you were shooting out from the pulpit. And so one of the things I'm grateful for is that she has created a program where people that may not have a degree can go and get a certificate in biblical foundations, which that has been a very cry to me of biblical theology, you know, sound theology being promoted from our pulpits. Also, while I was there, I was able to get a limited edition of this book, which they're not printing out anymore. And it's called The Early Four Square History. And this talks about, I'll pass it around, you may look through it. It's talking about the, just take a glance and then pass it to somebody else. But it's so big that you can take a glance at it, look at it, and then pass it. But it talks about the early history of this movement and some of the things the founder did and things of that nature. That book will never be printed again. So it has a lot of artifacts in there of the founder of the movement itself. Also, I got a chance to go to the Four Square Scholars Fellowship, and they had their meeting, and I was able to go, and they were talking about, there were people there. I met the president of Life Pacific University, also of Jamaica. I did not know he was the president of Life Pacific University of Jamaica. He walked up to me, was talking to me, didn't have a clue who he was until I saw the post later on. And I said, he's the president of Life Pacific University in Jamaica. And he was the president of Life Pacific University. And we were sitting right next to each other, talking to each other, didn't have a clue. But this is one of the quadrennial books that the Foursquare Scholars books put out, they put out regularly, that talks about really a lot of issues and a lot of things that scholars, to help equip people that may not be scholarly, help equip them in sound doctrine as well. Let's look at one of the things that the Holy Spirit highlighted to me while I was gone. I also went to the Black Leaders, the National Black Leader, Foursquare Leaders meeting, and they had some resources as well. That was amazing because we were got a chance to be around a lot of African American leaders, Foursquare leaders that are pastoring churches and leading churches. And they gave out a QR code with some resources, which if you have a phone, a smartphone, and you want to get the resources, you'll have to save it and then go print it off. But it's in a Google Drive link. And if you guys want me to, I can print it off. It has books that will be very viable, a list of books that you can get that will be able to help kind of to resource us as African Americans. But also, there was a lot of things, there was a lot of conversation about what are the next 100 years going to look like among us being African American and involved in the Foursquare family of churches. And so there was a lot of conversation about concerns that the leaders were having about being African American and some of the things that we've had to go through in the first 50 years of being connected to this movement, and also the accomplishments that African Americans have made in this movement now. And there were several prophetic words that were given during the National Black Leaders Meeting of Foursquare Leaders given then. There was a lot of different meetings that were going on, but to cut it to chase, there were a lot of things that happened to encourage our pastors and our leaders. Next year's convention is going to be in Maryland, and so I will not be going because of the fact that school does not let out until the end of that particular week. So we'll be talking about some things that I gleaned from the conference that I would like to implement. One of the things that I would like to implement is a Giverfy. Sister Freeman and I talked about that because we just have to face it. The world that we live in now is becoming more cashless. It doesn't mean that money's not there. It just means that we got to get a different approach of how to take up our offerings beyond, because people are not carrying cash anymore. And everything is becoming cashless. So the first day I was there, I was in prayer in the morning time, and the Holy Spirit highlighted to me Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. And I'm going to read Titus chapter 2 to you. And I'm going to share with you what the Holy Spirit highlighted to me in Titus chapter 2. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. We thank you that your word is true. Your word is true, and your word stands strong. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we're going to do the first 6 verses of Titus chapter 2 this morning, and I'll be reading out of the Passion Translation. And I'm just going to share a couple things with you, and that's going to be our sermon today. Another time I'll share with you about the life of Fanny Simple McPherson, which today would not be appropriate to do that, because I want us to get out of here so that some of us that haven't had breakfast can have breakfast or lunch or brunch or whatever. So, Titus chapter 2. Your duty is to teach them to embrace a lifestyle that is Titus chapter 2, verse 1. Your duty is to teach them to embrace a lifestyle that is consistent with sound doctrine. Verse 2. Lead the male elders into disciplined life full of dignity and self-control. Urge them to have a solid faith, generous love, and patient endurance. Likewise with female elders, lead them into lives free from gossip and drunkenness, and to be teachers of beautiful things. This will enable them to teach the younger women to love their husbands and to love their children and to be self-controlled, meaning having discipline, and pure, taking care of the household and being devoted to their husbands. By doing these things, the word of God will not be discredited. But last verse. Likewise, guide the younger men into living disciplined lives, discipled lives for Jesus Christ. As I was going through this particular passage of scripture, the Holy Spirit dropped a couple things into me, and he said, character development. Character development with godliness. Our duty, this is not our only duty as ministers of the gospel, is to teach people to embrace a lifestyle that is consistent with the word of God, with the teachings of scripture. Everybody following me? Let's look at this. Let's dissect this for a minute. If I'm not teaching people that God has put in my sphere of influence to embrace a lifestyle that's consistent with the word of God, with the foundations of the faith, what am I doing? What am I doing? Because that is one of the commissions of scripture. If you look at Mark chapter 16, verse 15, we've been given a commission, and it says, preach the word, you know, all these different things. Go ye therefore to all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, teach them to observe these things that I've commanded you, you know, da 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 da. But our duty is to teach, to embrace a lifestyle that's consistent with scripture. We're supposed to train people to have disciplined lives, not to control people's lives. I think one of the things that the church has had it really bad, we have taught everything. We've taught people how to dress to come to church, which that's been behavior modification. If you don't know what that means we have taught people how to behave, but really on the inside, their hearts were cold from the Lord. How many have known that? How many have seen that?
Amen.
Number two, lead the male elders into disciple disciplined lives full of dignity and self-control. Are you walking in dignity? Are you walking in self-control? I know sometimes that within my own self, I have to say, Lord, I have not walked in self-control in this particular area of my life. I have not walked in self-control in this particular area of my life. Lord, help me in this particular area to have self-control. It may have been in your spending habits. It may have been in your relationships. Could have been in your relationship who you're currently dating. It could be in your relationship not having self-control in the ways of balancing your schedule, balancing your checkbook, balancing your time in the Word, balancing your time in prayer. Even balancing your time with social events and social media. How many can say, Lord, I need self-control? You know, maybe I'm eating too much food.
Right.
Too many hamburgers. Maybe I'm drinking too much soda pop and I'm not, you know, having a life that's self-control. Anything can become imbalanced. Maybe I'm not taking time for vacation, to rest, or self-care. Self-control. Full of dignity. Dignity. When people see you, are they treated with dignity? Or are they ran over without dignity, you know, and respect. See, the Word of God is a roadmap to us on how to live our lives. And I know sometimes the church has placed Jesus such on a high plateau where they brought Jesus so high that they forget what he taught us in scripture. And it was not deep and mystical as some of the preachers have proclaimed these truths to be. Mm-hmm. Likewise, lead the females, elders, into lives free from gossip and drunkenness, and to be teachers of beautiful things. I think some of us men need to take a lesson of that as well. Is your life free from gossip? I mean, women and men.
Amen.
Is your life free from gossip? You know, we have social media nowadays. We have Clubhouse. We have Instagram. We have Twitter.
TikTok.
We have Facebook. TikTok. We have TikTok. We have all of these social media platforms, and there are so many things that are going on where people are having conversations, and, you know, they're having conversations about other people. They're having conversations about other people. And the look of, can we take a lesson to be free from gossip and drunkenness? Now, when it's talking about drunkenness, I want you to look at it twofold. There's alcoholic drunkenness, but there's also the drunkenness of this world. Have you ever looked at that? The drunkenness of this world, the world's system and idea. You could be drunk with the world system and don't even have to drink a bottle of gin and juice. You could be drunk with the cares of this world. And not have not one bottle of champagne or wine or beer or any or margarita or anything. Jack Daniel or what Bishop Buckley said the drink that he used to love back in the conic.
What's the drink?
What was the drink? Was it that you used to drink when you were younger? It would start with a C.
Conic.
Cognac. There are so many people that are drunk with the world system, you know. And some of them are in the church,
amen,
singing a song. All my life you have been faithful, but they're singing about the goodness of the Lord, but still drunk with the world system. Mm-hmm. We got to deal with these things. Amen. We have to ask God to search our hearts.
Yeah.
You know, while I was in California, there were so many things. Every corner you went to, there was something to get into.
All right.
You know, the world system, you could really see how the world has really creeped into the West Coast on a high level. And there's no stopping. Every corner you saw palm readers here. You saw this here and that there and this here. It's such a beautiful place. You saw all of these things, and they set it up so that people could have the drunkenness of this world. Mm-hmm. So be self-controlled and pure. How's your thought life? How's your thought life? How's your mind? You don't have to answer that question, but are your thoughts pure? Are your thoughts pleasing to the Lord? I have to check myself all the time because it's like, okay, Lord, my thoughts are not pure right now. I'm not thinking the way that you want me to think. And in my human mindset, my mind wants to say, okay, it's okay. But according to God's word, it's not okay.
Amen. Amen.
It's not okay. You got to constantly crucify and die daily. How do you die daily? When that temptation comes, you say, you know what? No. I'm not going to this party. I'm not going here. I'm not going there. I'm not going to engage in this. I'm not going to engage in that. I'm not going to fellowship with these type of people. I'm not going to fellowship with that. And I'm not going to watch this and that. That's how you, it's called allowing the Holy Spirit to do the inward work.
Yes.
So then it also talks about dealing with your family. The younger women to love their husbands. Have you noticed there's such a movement where the women, some of the women are dogging their husbands out? You know, back in the day when they had talk shows, you saw them getting on the talk shows, you know, really degrading their husband. Degrading their husband, degrading their wife. And that's still going on today. You have groups of women that call themselves girlfriends.
Yeah.
And they get together and they talk about their husband. Mm-hmm. And the other two women may not even be married.
Talk about the kids.
And they, you know, they used to get on the telephone and have those hour-long sessions, but now they done got smarter. They meet at Yard House. Yeah. And have a group.
All right.
Over happy hour. Mm-hmm. And they have a group and they said, the girl, my husband did this. Boy, my boyfriend did this. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And you know, the thing that I think about sometimes, how much of this is probable to sustain your marriage, to sustain your relationship. Then on the flip point, you have the brothers and they get together. Mm-hmm. And instead of shooting pool like they used to, like in dad's day, they would shoot pool and do different things. They done got smarter now. They go to the basketball court. They go to they go out to a concert. They'll go to a movie. And within that circle, or they'll take a brother's trip and go out of town. They done got smarter about what they're doing. And they have their conversations about what's not working in their marriage. But the question that I have is, in all those things, we all need relationships. If you don't need relationship, there is something wrong with that picture. We all need relationship. But the question that I'm asking today is, are the relationships that we're having there, are they pulling us to Jesus?
All right.
Are they helping us to live balanced lives? Mm-hmm. Or are they pulling us more toward the drunkenness of this world? Right. Everybody getting something out of this?
Amen.
So Titus is trying to tell us, that the book of Titus is trying to tell us, character consistently with godliness. Character consistency with godliness. With godliness. You know what? When I was in California this past weekend, this past week for convention, people kept asking me, they said, Pastor Solomon, did you come? Did your congregation come with you? I said, the congregation could not get jump on a plane. So that's why they're not here. Brother Lawan wanted to really come to the convention, but financially, it just was not feasible for him to get on a plane with me and go. But like I told him, I said, I'm fine. I have traveled enough in my lifetime within all the years that I traveled with my mother and father and then traveled with James, Sandra, and I traveled so much till I can navigate through airports as long as I know where landmarks are. I can basically navigate through, as long as there's a transportation app, I'm good. You know, I'm not comfortable jumping on buses in strange cities that I'm not familiar with, but I'm good as long as there's some type of Uber and Lyft in the city, I'm fine, you know. And so I was able to navigate through through there. But, you know, people were surprised that I came by myself, especially knowing that I have a disability. And they're like, you could barely, you're deaf, you know, you're hard of hearing, and you came here by yourself. Yeah. I got on the plane, got on here, came. What I'm going to tell you is, don't ever limit yourself.
Amen.
If God has called you to do something, don't let anybody stop you from doing what God has called you to do. I don't care if he sends you from here to Timbuktu. You be faithful to the calling. You go to Timbuktu and you do what he tells you to do. And then you come back home where he tells you to come back home. But be faithful.
That's right.
Be faithful. So Titus, in the book of Titus, is teaching us today about our character.
Amen.
You don't need us to tell you, quit doing this, quit doing that. You already know what you're doing.
All right.
You already know that you cheating with somebody else's spouse.
Come on. Teach.
You know that you sleeping with the enemy. Okay? You know that you, like Medea said, you could do bad all by yourself.
No, right.
She right about that.
Some of us, if we don't change what we're doing, we're going to be on witness protection. Mm-hmm. You remember that movie, Witness Protection? God is trying to teach us through his word on how to be consistent, how to live a life that is pleasing to him. How to live a life that is pleasing to him. And so how are we going to live a life pleasing to him? We're going to walk in these statutes and in this way and be healthy, and we're going to be able to make disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe these same things. What happened was, in some churches back in the day, they had this twisted, and they added doctrine, they added scripture into what they wanted to modify. So in some churches, Sister Freeman wouldn't have had the freedom to wear pants in their sanctuary because they were turning the scripture around and saying, women are not supposed to wear pants. But that context was talking about things that pertained to a man. And during that particular time, they didn't even have
pants.
They didn't even have pants. And if you go to some of those countries like Iraq and stuff, they wear long stuff that almost look like a dress.
Amen.
Even the men, yes. And the women have their head covered and all these things, and they can't even be seen. Their face, the only thing can be seen is their eyelids. Mm-hmm. Everything else has to be covered, or else they're breaking the law. Yeah. How many of us have really researched, and that's talking about looking at manners and customs, which Sister Freeman talked about that a long time ago in a Bible study about looking at manners and customs. And if you go to Bible school, they teach you how to look at manners and customs so you won't be misinterpreting God's word as you're presenting it to people, to know what the manners and customs of that time was. But we have turned the word of God somewhat to non-effect, where people in the previous church, where people didn't even want to have anything to do with the Jesus that we serve, because we didn't teach them from the full counsel. We taught them from a behavior modified system. I remember one church we were a part of in St. Louis that Bishop Buckley and I were a part of once, where they had a sign up at the door that said, women do not wear pants in the sanctuary. And they were adamant about women wearing pants in the sanctuary. Let's flip the coin. They had a skate night at the skating rink. And we went to the skating rink. And Bishop Buckley had a valid point. We went to the skating rink. Bishop Buckley bought a ticket. He said, we're going to go to the skating rink, the skate party, you know, that the church was having because we wanted to support the church. Do you not know those same women that couldn't wear pants in the church on Sunday morning? These were the pastor's daughters. He had a lot of daughters that didn't know what church I'm talking about. They built the church from the ground up. Did they not there? They bought their own 3 blocks right there in St. Louis. A lot of land surrounding the church. They built this church from the ground up. The church is still in existence today. And those same women, his daughters, his son-in-law, the daughters were wearing hoochie mama clothes at the skating rink. Bishop Buckley will tell you, Bishop Buckley, he was Elder Buckley then, he said, because he loves to skate. He hasn't told y'all. Bishop Buckley used to go to the skating rink after we would get done with church on Sunday morning. We would go to church, give God praise and glory. Bishop would go to the skating rink in St. Louis skate land over in Pine Line. He'd go to skate land. And he would go to the night skating rink. At night skating, we have about dollar night skate. And you go, you could skate all night long. He would go and skate. And so what happened was, we went to the skating party. They were dressed it was so inappropriate the way they were dressed. That Bishop Buckley said, I'm going to do my one round. Because he said, I paid to skate. And he said, we're getting up out of here. He got me a soda. I had my soda. Sat there with the church mothers. Sat there with some of the saints. And I just couldn't believe my eyes. I said, these are the same women on Sunday morning that are teaching me Sunday school. I couldn't even see them the same. Because, I mean, they were dressed so inappropriately till I said, I looked at Dad, and Dad, because back then my eyes would tell everything, and just like it does today. And Dad was looking at me, and from the look, he said, I got to get my son out of here. And he hurried up and said, come on, son, let's go. And so we got in the car, and he said, what did you see? I said, Dad, I said, I can't believe this. I'm seeing women's things that I should not be seeing. And I was a teenager. I shouldn't even be seeing this. And so I was like, he said, it was very inappropriate for this to be a church function and they were dressed like this. If that was the case, they should have had on dresses with leggings under it or something. Because if we was going to go out to the church, it was a double standard. It was a double standard. So God wants us to teach our children the right way of living a life that is pure and holy before the Lord and set apart unto the Lord. So Lord God, we thank you for your word today. Thank you for the power of your scripture. And thank you for how we're going to apply it to our life in Jesus' name. Amen.